From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Children of Night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever cape wearing, ever the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, my friend, my brother, my producer, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count.
Oh, Bob, hey there. And let me tell you, vampires were meant for weather jumps like this, from 60 degrees here in the Chicagoland area to 90 degrees here in the Chicagoland area in just a matter of a couple days. Boy, even living all these centuries, I'm still not used to it.
I've lived in Chicago my entire life.
Yeah.
And I have never experienced a weather hike like this before.
Hiked it up.
I literally had to wear a flannel on Mother's Day. Like, I had to wear a flannel because it was chilly. Like, I had to bundle up. And today, I was sweating. It was a 45-degree jump from Sunday to today.
There's no seasons anymore.
Which, Mother's Day, and then we record this on the Tuesday, 2 days after the fact.
There's no such thing as seasons anymore here anymore.
There is not.
So maybe in the summertime we'll get spring. I don't know. We're having summer into spring and then winter into spring. Maybe we'll get spring into summer and fall into winter. It's all a mess now, Bob. But I know last time we checked when you were in the warm climates, you don't fare too well in the warmer climates, do you? You're more of a winter person.
I am a polar bear, Count Panic.
You are.
Somebody was, Queen and I was just messaging me. She's like, what's the yellow thing on my head? It happens to be it's the tape to identify the headphones. I was thinking about that.
Like, let me know who you are.
So we know which ones. It just so happened that this one happens to be sticking up. But no, I am built for the cold weather, just like my father definitely was. I am cold, cold Bob.
Polar bear.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what's been going on, Count Panic?
Yeah, Bob, not too much. Again, kind of a weird jump up from wearing hoodies to wearing tank tops, but we embrace it. We roll with the punches here where we're at. But had a good weekend. Nothing really too drastic has happened. So happy to be here for another episode of Bob After Dark.
You are not kidding.
How about you, Bob?
We took last week off usually during election time because when we record the show, for the people that don't know, through podcast land, we record the show live on radio, and then we transfer the live radio audio to podcast land for all of you guys to listen to on demand whenever you want. When there is something big happening, like elections, WJOB, the studio that records Bob After Dark every week, is the local radio station. And when I mean the local radio station. So local news, local weather, et cetera. We are the only ones for the Northwest Indiana that would get this. And because of that, we're the only ones that broadcast election results all weekend long. And it didn't pan out. Were we able to reschedule? So we took last week off, and I think it was needed anyway. Last week was like my first week. We got through Dad's memorial, which was a beautiful celebration. Yeah. We had a really good time at. I needed that time to mourn and kind of brush off whatever cobwebs I had left. I'm still feeling a little weird, but it's every day is a new day to heal, as I've been telling people as they kind of ask me how I've been, and that's something I take to heart,
Of course, and you mentioned the elections there. I voted for you, Bob.
You voted for me. I didn't even know I was on the ballot, Count Panic.
I wrote you in. I said, I'm going to vote for Bob here today since he won't be on. I'll vote for Bob. But
What position did you vote for?
The governor, Bob.
Governor of Indiana. I didn't know I was even running.
Anything's possible. Anything's possible, but it didn't pan out the way I wanted, Bob. Didn't pan out.
I did something really amazing, though.
What'd
you do? During the time off from the show, when we were doing the show, I made an appearance on probably one of the biggest paranormal podcasts out there in the world.
Besides this one.
besides this one, besides Ghostly.
Yeah.
I was featured on Astonishing Legends.
Oh, that tell
was
us about that.
Yeah. I got Rob Southgate from Southgate Media Group reached out to me and said, "Hey, you know, I'm friends with the Astonishing Legends show, and they're interested in hearing your Mothman stuff." And we started talking, and you know, literally, it went from get it down the pipeline to literally five text messages back and forth, and I was like prepped and ready to be interviewed for their show like the next day. So I got a chance on Paranormal Day, mind you.
On Paranormal Day,
I got a chance to sit down and record with Astonishing Legends, and it was for their Patreon, so it's not their main show, which I'm going to make an appearance soon. And Astonishing Legends is going to be guests on Bob After Dark in the very near future. That might be a podcast only episode because of timing and recording live. We'll figure that out. But Astonishing Legends, I was on, and so I was featured on that. Nice. If you guys are Patreon supporters of Astonishing Legends, or if you came here from Astonishing Legends, it's really nice to meet you guys. Thank you for coming into Bob After Dark.
Cross another one off the bucket list. Now, what's next?
Coast to coast.
Coast to coast.
Coast to coast, not the podcast, but there's two now. I've done, you know, I need to make it on Last Podcast on the Left, mm-hmm. and maybe this is why we drink. And my big one, though, is Coast to Coast.
Well, it's Coast to Coast. I know that's a big radio because we carry it here on WJLB at midnight. But
right.
Are there a podcast version, too, or is it just radio?
If you subscribe to theirs, so they have, like, a subscription service where you can go and listen to pretty much every episode of Coast to Coast. So you pay, like, I don't think it's like $30 for the year or something, maybe even cheaper than that. It's been a couple of years since I've done it. But you do it, and you get the app. And then you can go and listen to their episodes like on demand. I could tell you that most of George Norrie's stuff's on there.
Yeah.
Art Bell, they like release like an archived episode like every week.
Yeah.
But so it's not necessarily a podcast, but man, if I could get on Coast to Coast Radio, that's like top tier. So listen, anybody out there is listening in podcast land or radio land that has a connection with George, please. I would love to be featured on Coast to Coast.
Yeah, maybe somebody's listening. You never know. Maybe George is listening as well. We don't know for
George
sure.
George Norrie, need you. I need you real quick to, get me set up.
All right.
Now, Comp Panic, I have an announcement to make.
What's the announcement?
I'm speaking at the biggest convention I have ever spoken at.
Oh, bigger than the last convention.
Biggest convention I've ever spoke at, and I'm coming back home to Chicago for it too.
What?
I'm going to say my first real official booking in Chicago.
What is it?
I am speaking at ASEN 2022, Anime Central. Is probably the second biggest anime convention in the country.
Mm-hmm.
But they do like pop culture stuff too. But yeah. They booked me. I'm going to be doing an 18-plus panel about the yokai and you. So I'm going to be doing my yokai panel. And it's like my come home show. It's my homecoming. Like I am so stoked because, you know, it is so hard to get booked in Chicago for like a Chicago convention.
Of course, yeah.
Wisconsin, for example, I just, you know, details to follow. I got booked at KitsuneCon in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Apply to a con, you'll get in. No problem, right?
Yeah.
Chicago, not that easy.
No.
But I got booked, and ASEN is not like the easiest show to get into. In fact, mm-hmm. it is brutally hard to be featured at ASEN.
Yeah.
And I will be featured. I'm going to be speaking Friday night of ASEN. So that's in 2 weeks. That would be, oh geez, I don't even know the date, but if you know your stuff, Friday night ASEN 8:30 in live events room 16, I will be speaking at Anime Central about the yokai panel, and this is like my big one.
Let me see, is it 20th or 27th? Do you remember?
20th.
The 20th, okay.
Yes.
So Friday, May 20th, we'll get this right. What room is it, Bob? Because we need
it is live events room 16.
Nice.
In the convention center, ASEN space. I will be there, and it's the only medium sized room. So they gave me like even a medium room. And let me point out, like, even if you get to speak in, like, ASEN in a small room, that's a big accomplishment. Mm-hmm. But here I am. I'm speaking in a media room at Ace, and it's like my big Chicago show. So if you're in Chicago, you always wanted to see me speak, you can get an ASIM badge for the entire weekend. You could go Friday night, and you could see me speak live there. And I am super, super excited, and I'm very, like, honored to be able to speak at this convention.
Are questions encouraged, Bob?
Questions are definitely encouraged.
Okay. So write your questions down,
yeah,
and then come see Bob.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so excited about that. That's my big announcement.
Big deal, yeah.
Yeah. Next thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about a little bit about what Bob After Dark is, because there are probably new listeners coming in from Astonishing Legends.
Sure.
So Bob After Dark is a weekly-ish, and I use the word ish because we used to be every week. These days, it's like every other week, every month.
Do our best.
We do our best. Recording schedule has been tough this year, especially everything going on, you know, my dad passing, etc. So it's been harder to get a chance to sit down. But we're a weekly-ish show where we talk about Legends lore and supernatural, things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, weird cryptid stories, and, of course, Count Panic's favorite shape of pasta.
Oh, favorite shape of pasta.
Your favorite pasta shape.
I like a good spiral pasta from time to time because you get a little
cavatappi. You know that's what that's called?
What's it called?
Cavatappi.
Oh, okay. I didn't know there was a fancy term for it.
My niece used to call it Bob's hair.
She used
to call it Bob's hair because, you know, the springs.
You know, I'm a fan of a lot of noodles, though, Bob. I like a lot of noodles out there.
I am personally also a fan of cavatappi, but I'm also the biggest fan of my mother's stuffed shells.
Qualifies.
Big jumbo shells. Yeah, absolutely.
And what's it stuffed with?
Because I'm a vegetarian. Mom don't use meat, so it's like cheese and sauce, and you could do like the veggie crumble, like the veggie fake meat crumbles on
top.
Why
not?
But yeah, so mother makes those, and they're some of my favorite.
There you go.
But I digress. We talk about the paranormal, and we split the show up into a couple parts. First part of the show, we talk about the weird, spooky news of the week. This is where we find news articles. We scour the world looking for news articles that feature the paranormal. So things like ghosts making into major media, a cryptid sighting, or weird advances in science that borderline on science fiction. And then we talk about the lore of the week. That is what we call, you know, sometimes the meat and potatoes of the episode. Or, in my case, the bread and potatoes of the show, because I don't eat meat.
That makes sense. I get what you're saying. Well, what would you say was a, I guess, I feel like there could be something else that could be said in that place, though, too. I'm not sure.
What's that?
I feel like you could use some other analogy with food when in that place. I'm not sure, but I guess that works.
Yes. So, we got a caller already?
We do.
We haven't even started the show.
219-845-1100?
Take it live.
We'll take it live? Again, the number is
209-845-1100.
Perfect.
All right, caller, you're on the air.
Boy, did you really stretch that way there tonight, Bob.
Hey, thanks, John, for calling in. You're calling in early, sir.
Well, we really got a kick out of that when you stretched that out.
How are you doing tonight, really, John?
Good. And you know what? I was surprised. All these years, I thought I knew you well. I didn't know you were a cold weather person.
Yes, I
really
hate the heat, John. I'm a chubby individual, and I have a lot. I have this glorious lion's mane of hair on top of my head, and the heat and me don't mix.
I'm kind of a little not surprised, but you know, I never really knew that about you. So, but you prefer the cold and the snow over the?
No, don't give me snow. I hate the snow too, John. I prefer. My ideal temperature is anywhere from 55 to 75 degrees.
Well, that's not cold, then.
That's not cold. No. I prefer the fall.
Yeah.
And then, like, the hottest I'll let it get is 75. Past 75, I'm miserable. Under 55, I'm miserable.
I'm with you on that.
You know, we go from hot to cold, cold to hot around here. So, like, your comments said, you know, 50 degrees one day, 80 the next day, but yeah, what are you going to do? Hey, congratulations on your speaking engagement.
Oh, thank you, John. I appreciate it. It's very sweet of you.
And one more thing.
One more thing, John.
I never did ask you, are you a moviegoer? Do you like to go to the movies?
I go to movies. John, I am a film cinephile, I believe the proper term is. I am a movie connoisseur.
Any specific movies like the ghostly kind?
Ooh, that is a great question. I am a big fan of the Conjuring series. You could just watch The Conjuring, and that's about it. The other ones are a little rough to get around. The Devil Made Me Do It was a decent movie, but outside of that, I not the biggest fan. The Entity, that's a good one. Insidious is okay. It's not really lore based, but like specifically lore based stuff like that. And then of course there's the Mothman Prophecies, which is phenomenal.
Yeah, because I went to the movies Saturday, and I
did you see Doctor Strange?
No, you know what? I'm glad you brought that up. We went to Showplace 12, and the parking lot was pretty well packed. So me and the wife went to see a Liam Neeson movie.
Ah, okay.
And you know what? We're regular goers of movies, but we were the only two in that theater. We had the whole place to ourselves. Usually there's maybe three, four, five, if there is any more. But first time we ever experienced being the only two in the movie. But everybody else did go see that movie. We were told,
Doctor Strange. Yeah.
Yeah. But there was a premiere of a movie coming out. I don't know what it was titled, but it was on the scary side of it, scary side, which I thought might be up your alley, so.
Well, thank you, John. I appreciate the call and talking to me a little about. But listen, paranormal movies and me, there's a lot of good ones, but I definitely say The Entity, The Conjuring, and
Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters is good, but that's biased answer.
What's that day you're going to be in Chicago again?
When am I going to be? May 20th. I'll be speaking at Anime Midwest. Yes. Yes.
So there's the 19th before the 20th, right?
I would say so.
Yeah, something going on the 19th. I can't recall, but rings a bell.
Something similar. Something's going on May 19th.
Something's going on May 19th. I think.
Well,
yeah.
You know what? Hey, wait. There's something going on every day. So I'll find out. But
there you go. He'll figure it out.
Well, I think something special is going to be happening on the 19th. I know what's going on. I have somebody back there pointing at himself, and I'm like, I know what's going on. Well, thanks for calling in, John.
Yeah, take care, Bob.
Absolutely.
Have a good one.
Thank you. Bye. Folks, remember, you could call in at any point. You could be just like John, 219-845-1100. You can call in while we're recording live. If you in podcast land decide you want to call into the show after the fact, you're probably going to talk to some guy named Tony Panic.
Some guy will answer. I was going to say, but maybe Ghostbusters, technically not a – I mean, you wouldn't lump it in a horror movie franchise. It's just – it's fun. It's a comedy.
It's a horror comedy.
Yeah. It's not – but you're nobody's – you didn't grow up being terrified of the thing like these other movies out there. So I say that with a grain of salt that Ghostbusters is a – scary movie because it's more of a fun loving movie, but hey, I digest.
Yes, and by the way, it's Anime Central I'm gonna be at, not Anime Midwest. There's a difference between the two conventions.
Don't go to Anime Central.
Go to Anime Central. That's where I'm booked.
Okay, so don't
if you show up to Anime Midwest in May, you're gonna be a little confused. It's not the same convention. I'm booked at Anime Central.
Which takes place on May 20th.
On May 20th, and something happens May 19th.
We'll have to figure that out.
I don't know. It's written in the tombs. Anyway, you guys call in 219-845-1100. Call and say hello during the show.
There you go.
All right, you want to dive right into the spooky news of the week, Count Panic?
Sure.
All right, our first story comes to us from our old pal Tim Banal.
Oh. Okay. Well, he's our connection, I think.
Tim Banal, Tim, if you're listening to the show, I read your articles all the time. I think they're absolutely fascinating, and you are a fascinating individual for collecting said stories. But Tim Banal wrote an article. It is on the Coast to Coast website, and it is a British community menaced by a gang of clowns in a van that plays creepy music.
Okay.
A community in England is on edge following sightings of a proverbial clown gang that has been roaming the streets in a van blasting eerie music from a loudspeaker atop their vehicle. According to a local media report, the haunting clowns were first spotted last Friday evening when an unnamed resident of Leyden was walking home around 2 o'clock in the morning. What should have been a peaceful late-night stroll turned into a rather terrifying ordeal when he realized that he was being trailed by a van full of clowns. Making the experience all the more unnerving for the unfortunate walker, he said, was that they also had a massive speaker on top of their car, which they were playing creepy music. As one might imagine, the man was deeply disturbed by the being in the crosshairs of the clowns, and he fled the scene in fright. Later, sharing the story on social media, he warned his fellow residents about the clowns in their midst and mused that it worries me that they are there, that this is happening in my area, as it is scary, creepy, and weird. Chillingly, his account of the creepy music emanating from the van was echoed by another individual who reported that she had also heard the clown's creepy music being played in the night, and her kids were terrified by the troubling tunes. "My children now want me to move, as they are scared," she laminated. "I just don't know what to do." It would seem that those concerns are shared by other residents, as well as several other people chimed in on social media to say that they also encountered clowns or heard their haunting music. For now, the strange sightings have been confined to the online rumor mill, as a local authority asked about the situation indicated that, "I haven't been personally contacted by any of the residents of this yet, but this sounds very concerning." As it should.
Yeah.
Noting that playing really loud, scary music would be something for the police to investigate, he promised to investigate the situation and get to the bottom of the clown mystery unfolding in that community. And before we go to the hashtag panics take, mm-hmm. I never would have expected to say to get to the bottom of the clown mystery on Bob After Dark.
It is a clown mystery, Bob, and it's a terrifying mystery as well. Remember a few years back, simpler times.
We talked about this recently because
we thought we were about clowns.
Yeah, you know, we talked about that because we had the clown. I'm going to use the term epidemic because I believe that was the term
we
that was used
immediately. Yeah, you
know, there was the clown sightings up and around all the areas in America. We had one actually right near the studio here where I remember, but I was delivering pizzas at the time.
Yeah.
And I remember
terrifying.
I was out, and I remember telling my boss, I was like, "Hey, man, what do I do if I see a clown?" He said, "Run him over."
Well, I don't know if that's the correct response. I guess if they're coming after you, then
I want to point out. This is going to stop. I've talked about this on the show before because the clown thing popped up again in England. Now they're chasing people around in vans.
Yeah.
I have friends in the clown community, and I know that sounds strange to say out loud, but I have friends in the clown community that do really good things for the community. Clowns are a little horrifying, in my opinion. They don't necessarily scare me, but they are, you know, they do really good for the community. They're good charity people. You know, they run, like, these charity circuses, et cetera, like, really big stuff and really mm-hmm. important stuff. And the people that are dressing like the clowns are... You're not leaving a good face for the people that are trying to do good, because now these people that are out doing the, you know, these charity things, as the clowns do, they're going to be scaring people, thinking that there's these clowns poking their heads in, or, you know, around windows and stuff like that, or chasing people around in the van. I will tell you to stop the silliness, and please don't do that. I would highly advise not to dress like a clown and act a fool.
There you go. Wise advice there too, Bob. And you know what? If clowns want to go run amok throughout cities and towns, do it in Clown Town. Don't do it around here. Do it in your own town of Clown Town. So, a terrifying epidemic, but still, you're right. At the end of the day, Bob, there's a lot of good clowns out there.
There are some good
clowns. Clowns are just people, too.
Absolutely.
Clowns are just people, too.
Would you say it's your hashtag panic stake?
Hashtag my take.
Hashtag your take. Hashtag panic stake. Yeah. All right. Let's move on to a better story. This one comes to us from the BBC News. While lottery winners who bag 10,000 euros a month pursue paranormal passion. Laura Hoyle from Hucknall, Nottinghamshire, and her partner Kirk Stevens won the prize lasting 30 years during a national COVID lockdown last March. Since the win, Ms. Hoyle has given up work and the pair have bought a house. The money has also enabled them to pursue their passion for ghost hunting. Mm.
Okay.
Ms. Hoyle matched all five main numbers plus the life ball, which I'm assuming is like their Powerball number.
Makes sense.
Yeah. To win the top prize in the Set for Life draw on March 1st. Recalling the call, recall from the 40-year-old when they won, saying, "I was physically shaking as I told the lady, I think I won the lottery." And the ridiculous part was that I waited for Camelot to call me back, which I'm assuming is their lottery company, and I still had to join online work meetings. I could hardly speak, let alone make any sense. So this young lady was working,
yeah,
and found out that she won this big lottery deal. And after the win was confirmed, before the call ended, Mr. Stevens had opened bottles of Prosecco. Hmm. In addition to having their sights on the supernatural, Mr. Stevens, a manufacturing engineer, is continuing a master's degree in mechanical engineering. Good for him. The 38-year-old eventually plans to open a business making paranormal investigation products.
Wow.
So here's these folks, right?
Yeah.
These two people win this really big prize. They buy a house, and they are pursuing ghost hunting as a full-time career, which anybody in the paranormal world will tell you it is very hard to pursue paranormal as a full-time job. Most people have a day gig if you're, you know, pursuing it as investigation only or something. It is hard to make it a career. But these people got the lottery. They were able to pull it through, and now they're doing paranormal stuff full-time. And kudos to this guy, too, you know. He's going back to school to finish his master's to continue his craft and to make paranormal investigation equipment. And I think that is so cool. But anyway, hashtag panic steak.
Well, you know, Bob, when some people win the lottery, they move to a private island. Some may move out to the woods and live in the middle of the woods in a fancy home. And some may just do paranormal investigation full time. So good for these folks. They're doing what they love at the end of the day. And you always want to see that. But yeah, and also with the equipment, very impressive as well. I think these folks, though, it's safe to say, are living the dream, Bob. They're living the dream.
Yes, I'm so happy, and I think it's so fascinating that this group like was able to take their passion and use it to what they wanted to do with their lives. And even this guy's going back to school, and he wants to make the equipment. I think that is so fascinating, and I think it's so cool because you're taking. I always talk about, you know, the concept of taking practicality and morphing it into these pseudosciences, which paranormal investigation is a pseudoscience. And you're taking these real life practical things you could do, like manufacturing and engineering, and pursue like paranormal stuff. And yeah. I think that's so fascinating. And I want to reach out to them. If there's anybody out there in the world that could get me in touch with them. In fact, I have somebody in England that's a fan of the show. I'm going to see if we can find out who they are so we can get an interview on the show. I think they'd be a good group to interview.
For sure. Yeah.
Yes.
Living the dream.
Living the dream.
Yeah.
That you enjoy?
Yep.
Last story of the night, Count Panic. Are you ready for this one? Comes to us from Oddity Central, but Coast to Coast also reported on it. Oddity Central talks about a woman allegedly coming back to life during her own funeral.
Wait, say that again?
A woman allegedly comes back to life during her own funeral.
Okay.
Dozens of people taking part in a funeral in Peru were left shocked after a woman being laid to rest allegedly started banging on the casket from the inside. Late last month, Rosa Isabel Cespedes Calaaca, that's Cespedes Callaaca. Hope you guys like that one.
Yeah.
A 36-year-old woman from Lambayeque, Lambayeque, Peru. Her brother-in-law and three of her nephews were involved in a serious car accident that claimed lives of both adults and left the boys with serious injuries. It's very unfortunate. On April 26th, Rosa's relatives gathered in the city to lay her body to rest. The solemn procession was going according to plan, according to eyewitnesses, but at one point, they started hearing faint banging from inside the woman's coffin. And when the lid was opened, the funeral attendees were shocked to see Rosa staring back at them. Hmm. She opened her eyes and was sweating, the cemetery caretaker Juan Segundo Cajo said. I immediately went back to my office to call the police. Still in total disbelief, the woman's family picked up the coffin and rushed her to the hospital nearby in the city with Rosa still inside. Doctors there confirmed the woman's vital signs, even though she was pronounced dead days earlier and was taken off of her life support. Unfortunately, Rosa died just a few hours after being brought to the hospital, and this time for real, However, no one could ignore the fact that she came back to life just moments before being lowered into her eternal resting place.
Interesting.
And her family is now asking for answers. We want to know why my niece reacted yesterday when we were taking her to get buried, Rose's aunt said. When we have videos in which she pushes and touches on the coffin. Police said have already opened an investigation to the matter after the bizarre case went viral, but he has yet to find reported any findings. The woman's family believes that she fell into a coma after the car crash, but that begs the question, how did doctors originally miss her vital signs? Some people went as far as to suggest that the hospital deliberately declared Rosa dead for the first time because they didn't have enough resources to keep the woman on the coma on life support, and could have been for that long period of time. They're asking for a thorough investigation to be brought to light. I have my theories, but we're going to hear hashtag panic steak first.
Well, it's interesting, Bob, because, you know, you hear about some of these stories from the past. Now, Ripley's, believe it or not, they did, a thing about this back in the day, Bob. You probably heard about this. When people were buried, there was a bell, right? There was a bell on a string connected to the string. So if they were still alive, they could pull on the string and the bell would ring above ground there. And then somebody's hear the bell ringing. And oh my goodness, there's somebody still buried there. So this used to be, I feel like, a common problem. I didn't know if it happens so much anymore nowadays. I know back then it was more so.
It was very common. That's why you always had the string and the bell.
Yeah.
Because people had, like, you know, things like narcolepsy, which we didn't have diagnosed at the time. And, you know, because of that, it wasn't uncommon for them to when we say bury your dead, that's what they were doing. And the groundskeeper of the cemetery would wait by their, you know, burial site for like 3 days after they were buried to make sure they're dead.
Yeah. So, yeah, much more common occurrences back then. But you never know. It could still happen, Bob. It makes you wonder, but kind of eerie. An eerie story at the end of the day.
It is a bizarre one.
Yeah. I don't know. What's your take on
it? Okay, so I am not a medical expert.
No, neither am I.
I play one on TV, but I know a little bit, you know, in regards to things, because we talk about, like, vampirism on the show and what real vampirism is. And you look at these diseases where people need to, like, crave on blood to stay alive, or people with narcolepsy who believe that they, like, they're in a death-like state where their vitals are very shut down. I don't want to think that anything nefarious was going on. I can understand why somebody would believe that, you know, they would declare them dead so they would get them out of the hospital. I think that's a bit much. I mean, I'm not going to rule it out, but this isn't a true crime podcast. I am going to say there's probably something scientific to it. Perhaps she had, you know, narcolepsy, like I said, it's a popular, you know, as a theory of mine, or maybe she went brain dead. If she was pronounced dead, and they were getting ready to bury her, and it was a few days after the fact, that would be, in my opinion, the law. And I'm not sure what the real long is of somebody coming back from the dead, like from a near-death experience. I don't know what the record is. Pat from Ghostly be able to answer that for me, because he did the episode. You should check that one out. But I don't know the answer, but I'm assuming there's nobody that's been declared dead and stayed legally dead for 2 days. And if that's the case, I'm more interested to know what the woman saw during 2 days of death. That's my case.
Yeah. It's an interesting discussion, of course, but yeah, a lot of eerie stuff that goes along with that. Should they bring back the bell? I'm not sure. Maybe.
You want to know my philosophy, Count?
What's your philosophy?
Cremation.
Oh, okay.
Cremation.
All right.
Then that way there, Bob's not beating on any coffin when I'm gone.
I don't know, Bob. Well, I guess it's up to you what you want to do in your personal life.
That's my plan. Cremation. Right. In fact, natural cremation, Count Panic. Remember we talked about that on the show? You know, they take you out to the woods and they do the cremation ceremony.
Yeah.
It's my plans. Yeah. I don't want to wake up in the coffin.
You don't want the Viking ceremony?
It's illegal in the States, and I know my mother's listening at home. That's what she wants done, but I'm natural cremation's legal in 2 states.
All right.
Maine and Colorado, so my plans. All right. So, Cal Panic?
Yeah.
Ready to take a quick break?
Sure.
All right, folks, for all of our radio fans at home, stick around. We'll be right back. And to our podcast fans, you're about to be hearing words from a podcast that you should be listening to. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Ghostly.
Pat.
Matt, what are you doing?
What? I want people to know that we're a podcast that takes a deep dive into some of the scariest ghost stories.
But we don't do the creepy voices or weird sound effects. We debate the ghost stories. And aren't you supposed to be the skeptic?
I am, but they'll find that out once they listen.
Look, all you have to do is tell them to listen to Ghostly, and that our listeners get to decide which stories are real.
And which stories are just old folklore.
Exactly.
Download Ghostly wherever you find great podcasts.
Oh, jeez. Oh.
And we're back.
Hey.
Oh, hey there, Count Panic.
Oh, hey, Bob.
How are you?
Doing good, you?
Not too bad. What'd you do during break?
You know, Mia went out there. Went to Antarctica. Flew to Antarctica, get a little bit of that cool air, then back here into the spring summer heat. How about you?
You know, I took up a new hobby.
What'd you do?
Snow cone making.
Snow cone making.
I got a shaved ice machine. I started shaving ice to cool myself off a little bit from this odd heat.
You could market that to Bob After Dark Snow Cone.
Or a shaved ice, I guess.
Or shaved ice, yeah.
It would be like some kind of purple-y.
Yeah.
Grape flavored
smoke
thing.
Coming out of it.
Now you're talking.
Like the drink, right?
What's your favorite flavor of stuff?
The cherry. I'm basic.
So like a red and purple mixed thing would be like the Bob After Dark.
That'd be good.
Shaved ice.
Yeah.
I'm a fan. That's our retirement plan. Spooky snow cones or spooky shaved
ice. Are we always trying to get like a sandwich made after us or a beverage made after us? There's a lot that's got to be named after us, Bob, but we'll come around to it eventually.
Yes. You know, Count Panic, I was doing some research for this episode this week, and I was, as always, you have stacks and stacks and stacks of things to look at and lore base of what do I want to talk about this week. And, I have a very strange book in my collection. I would say it's probably the most unique book in my entire library.
What is it?
It is a pirate lore book.
Pirate lore?
Pirate lore. So there is stories in there about, Davy Jones.
The monkeys?
All right, Steve. Remember he cracked that joke.
I know he did.
Davy Jones, and then there's different things, right? So it's the strangest book because it's definitely an old book. I don't know the year offhand, but it's. I remember I was staring at it after my Astonishing Legends interview because I get a lot of books in my occult library. Someday I'll have to do like a walkthrough of like my library because I have a lot of books and a lot of reading material that I've collected over the time I've been doing the show. And I'm looking at this pirate book and, once upon a time ago we did Pirate Lore Month. That was pre-podcast days. That was back when we were just, a hobbyist radio show before we became career people. And I've always wanted to revisit that.
Yeah.
So I sat down, I'm like, well, what am I going to do? I don't want to do Pirate Lore Month in, like, the middle of a month. Like, I don't want to do that. And then I thought about doing the Polish Mermaid story. We're following up from last week's Dad's Memorial. I'm not necessarily ready to talk about Poland stuff again right now. I need, like, there's stuff. For example, like, I'm not ready to talk about ghost stories just yet.
Yeah.
I need a little bit more time to get through that. But I could compromise.
Yeah.
What do you know about ghost ships?
Really, what I only see in the the movie, right? Didn't the Pirates of the Caribbean have a ghost ship at one point? They fought one. Johnny Depp was on a ghost ship.
They did.
So, yeah,
Dutchman.
The Flying Dutchman from SpongeBob. Well, SpongeBob has the Flying Dutchman too, right?
Yeah, it's actually what we're going to be talking about.
Oh, it's the real thing.
The Flying Dutchman is a legitimate piece of lore.
All right.
And so, ghost ships. There are legitimate phenomenons about these things called ghost ships, which are ships that either are unmanned. Mm-hmm. And they are just floating out there in the water and nobody knows what happened to the crew. Or there's legitimate apparitions of ghosts.
Which is terrifying.
Ghost ships.
Yeah.
Apparitions of ghost ships.
Yeah. So and when we say a ship, it means the actual ship, right? Not just a little pontoon boat.
Oh, no. These things are actual, like, freighters.
Yes. Yep.
I got several stories tonight that we're going to be talking about, including the Flying Dutchman, but we'll talk about that one kind of last because that's like the most famous.
The big one.
That's the big one. All right, so you ready to talk a little bit about these ghost ships?
Shiver me timbers.
Shiver me timbers. This is from DocWalk.com, so thank you, DocWalk, for these stories. Our first one is called the Bay Chimo. The Bachimo was a Swedish cargo ship steamboat built in 1914. It was used for trade between the Inuit natives of the Victorian Islands and the settlers of the Northwest Territory. In 1931, the Bachimo became trapped in ice and the crew abandoned ship, setting up camp nearby. They briefly reboarded the ship when the ship temporarily broke free, but it soon became icebound again. All but a 15-man skeleton crew were all airlifted away, while the remaining crew kept watch over the trapped vessel and its cargo from a nearby shelter. During a violent blizzard, the Bachimo disappeared, and the crew assumed she broke apart during the storm and sank. However, days later, the vessel was spotted 45 miles away, this time trapped in ice. Her crew was able to retrieve the cargo, but made no attempt at salvaging the boat this time because it was on the brink of sinking, being stuck in ice as much as it has been. But the Bachimo did not sink, as there was at least 11 reported sightings of the derelict ship over the next four decades floating across the water.
All right.
The last sighting was reported by an Inuit fisherman who spotted her off the Alaskan coast, trapped in ice, of course, in 1969.
Really?
38 years after the crew abandoned the ship. Dubbed the Ghost Ship of the Arctic, in 2006, the Alaskan government established a community determined to find out what her fate was. However, she has never been spotted again, and her ultimate resting place is unknown. So the question is, the Bachis, you know, if we say this thing kept breaking away from ice, but every time it was spotted with ice, the question is, what were they were seeing? Is it the actual ship, or was it a mirage?
Yeah, yeah.
Or was it a ghost ship? What's your take on the Bachimo?
Yeah, and you said last time was in 1969, so, you know, it's been a while. I know it was going on for decades, people have been seeing it, but that's the last time it occurred, so... I mean, it could be any one of those two, but at some point, I mean, if nobody has seen it since, is it at ease now? Is it at the ship finally at rest?
We don't know.
Yeah.
That's the spooky thing. Yeah. Imagine you're, like, out on the water.
Yeah.
And you're looking for, like, you know, you're out fishing in Alaska, or you're out, like, you know, doing something in Alaska, whatever it is that you want to do. And you just see this empty ship that's all encased in ice just drifting by you. There's no crew on it.
Yeah.
That's got to be a horrifying sight, or really cool. In my opinion, I think it'd be really cool, but, like, that's got to be so intense. That's got to be, like, a moment, you know?
Yeah.
I'm assuming at this point that she's probably sank. By the way, folks, we use the term she when it comes to ships because ships back then were always referred to in the female, you know.
Yeah, she's a beauty.
Yeah. She's a, you know. But what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's been a while since they last seen this boat, but our ship, I should say, I keep calling it a boat, a ship. But it could be, again, it could be any one of those two, but just the fact that it hasn't been seen since 1969.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's probably sank. Or,
leads me to believe, yeah.
Or,
yeah,
to quote a very famous pirate, the sea turtles.
Yes.
The sea turtles came and pulled it away.
Yeah.
But no, that's a fascinating story. Now, the reason why I start with that one, because there is a ghost, there's an actual story of a apparition ship that has been spotted. Okay. We're going to talk about that now, called the Octavius.
The Octavius.
Legend says the Octavius was found adrift off of Greenland in 1775. When she was boarded, her crew was found frozen, and check this out. So they were frozen, but perfectly preserved.
Interesting.
The captain found seated in his cabin, frozen in place while making his last entry in his logbook. The date of the entry was 1762, meaning the frozen crew had been sailing the Arctic for 13 years. Though there were those who swear they saw the legend of the Octavius is true, there is no actual record of the vessel ever being found, leading some to believe that it might be the mistelling of it is actually the Bachimo, the ghost ship that we talked about before. It is so. Now, we were talking about, like, the ship goes by and it's empty, yeah, right? Perfectly preserved, and the captain froze in suspended animation, writing a log. I again, not a professional. I play a medical professional on TV. I know a little bit. But I'm assuming that a cold snap isn't going to freeze somebody instantly. That sounds like the paranormal to me in some regard.
Bob, I have to tend to agree with you on this one. And this one kind of has an eerie legend behind it as well. Now, again, with these two cases here, it feels like it's been a while, Bob. It's been a while for both of these cases here. So I don't know. I wonder if maybe the coming stories you're about to share with us, maybe there's a more current tales of people finding ghost ships out there at sea. But again, a lot of lore behind us right now, Bob.
Yes. But so do you think it was the machismo that was found? Or do you think that's what they were seeing?
I'm going to say, yeah.
Because people still see the ship, apparently, to this day.
I'm going to go with yeah for this one. I think it's that ship, Bob. I'm going to go with yeah. What do you think?
I think the Octavius is its own ship.
Yeah.
I think they're seeing it. I think that the crew still pilot it to this day.
Yeah.
Remember, folks, if you're listening in, 219-845-1100, you're welcome to call in if you have questions, comments.
If you've seen a pirate, yeah, let us know.
Maybe if you are a pirate.
There are pirates out. Not the pirates we think there are pirates, but there are still menacing pirates out there on the seven seas. Name the seven seas, Bob, a fun fact.
Baltic.
Sure.
Indian. That's an ocean. Ooh.
Let me see. Let me type it in here.
The oceans, you have the Atlantic, Pacific, Indian, Arctic. Oof. You're killing me here.
Let's see. The seven seas. I don't know if these are the ones we want to talk. Yeah.
Well, let's move on.
There's different versions of the seven seas.
You want to talk about the Mary Celeste next?
Yeah, let's talk about that.
All right, let's talk about Mary Celeste here. In early November 1872, Mary Celeste, her crew of 8 and 2 passengers, set sail from New York to Italy with a cargo of 1,700 barrels of American alcohol, which sounds like a good time.
Going for a party.
The crew of the De Grita, which left harbor 7 days after the Mary Celeste, spotted the ship under full sail heading towards the Strait of Gibraltar, although no distress signals were flying. The De Grita's crew suspected the Mary Celeste was derelict and was sent a boarding party to investigate. Upon boarding the Mary Celeste, the De Grita crew found the boat in relatively good condition. Two hatches had been left open, and those areas were a watery mess, but otherwise all appeared to be fine. However, there was no sign of the vessel's crew or passengers. According to some accounts, there was food on some of the table, and the cups of tea were sitting next to them. Other odd observations were that the ship's clock had stopped and its compass was destroyed. The sextant and chronometer were missing, as were most of the ship's papers, although the ship's logbook was left behind. The lifeboat had been set adrift, and the only remaining passenger, get this, was a sleeping cat.
Wow.
Yes,
how about that?
Yeah. The last entry in the logbook had been made 2 weeks earlier, placing the Mary Celeste 160 kilometers west of the Azores, and was otherwise than that, nothing remarkable was going on in the logs. After sailing the abandoned ship to Gibraltar, it was discovered that even though all 1,700 barrels of the alcohol were aboard, 9 of them were empty.
Mm-hmm.
Because the circumstances were so suspicious, the crew of the De Grita were awarded only a tiny fraction of the salvage. Wild stories of what happened were all over the place. Some say the ship was, built by pirates who set the crew and passengers adrift to die at sea. Others suspect the crew was eaten by sharks during a morning swim. But the reality is that no one will ever know what happened to the souls of the Mary Celeste.
Interesting. This is a weird time to alcohol and cats too, which is fans of the show would know.
This was not as paranormal as the sleeping cat was left, but it's kind of strange that there were things missing, but not a lot. And if you were going to go, if I don't believe the pirate theory, because if a pirate was going to go pillage that, they're going to take a lot more than drink on the ship that they just took. They, all the barrels were accounted for, right? Except 9 of them were empty.
Yeah.
That's a very strange thing. Maybe the crew drank the 9 barrels, and if that was the case, maybe they got a little drunk, decided to go for a swim. But it leads me to think, if that was the case, they left food there. Like half-eaten food on plates with, like, goblets of tea next to them. What happened to the crew of the Mary Celeste?
Yeah. Well, I mean, whenever there's barrels of alcohol in question, you got to really investigate everything there. But, yeah, an odd circumstance whereas what exactly happened there. I mean, it was drinking involved that one could assume with barrels of alcohol, but exactly there's still a lot of holes, I should say, in this barrel. I mean, holes in the story. The cat.
Doo-dooch. And a cat. Yeah, the cat was there. The cat was asleep.
Cat was asleep.
Cat's like, you know what?
Cat wasn't drinking.
Cat's done. Cat's done. Cat's checked out. It's like, you know what? I don't care what's going on with all of you. I'm going to sleep like a proper cat would.
Yeah. I mean, a cat can't be bothered with all this meandering about the ship. It's,
by the way, I do want to, I got to thank Doc Walk again for supplying some of the articles for this thing.
All right.
You want to hear about the Watertown ghosts?
The Watertown ghosts.
All right. While making way off of the Mexican coast in the mid-1920s, two crew members of the SS Watertown were asphyxiated by gas fumes while cleaning out a cargo hold. Mm. The bodies of the deceased crewmen were buried at sea. The following day, just before dark, the entire ship was in an uproar when the crew reported seeing ghosts of two men in the water at the ship's stern. The sighting continued, and a crewman claimed that he was able to snap a picture, proving their existence with a camera. With the film untouched and left inside the camera, the captain developed the camera to a commercial photographer to develop the images and authenticate the photo, which showed two faces of two men in the water. To this day, the image of the Watertown ghosts is believed by many to be legitimate paranormal. A paranormal photograph of ghosts at sea.
See, photography, though, Bob, it's always an interesting thing when it goes to the paranormal. We got to have proof, right, that this was taken. This was back in what time, Bob?
What's that?
What was the year again?
For this one, it was in the mid-1920s, so like 1925, 1926.
Oh, well, you could doctor things back then, too, as well, I guess. But, people are more inclined to believe when there's photos involved, but is the photo circulating? Can I see this photo?
It is, yep. Or I will make sure we post that up on the Children of the Night Facebook page so you guys can go see that. But the Watertown ghosts, and it's, before we go on to the next one, I want to say that these stories are just some of the more prolific, ghost ship stories, because again, it's not necessarily, I don't want to, the Flying Dutchman is definitely a paranormal story, but this is like the one time where I could talk about, like, the mystery. What happened to these people? And there's always these stories from, old sailors and whatnot that always talked about seeing things like mermaids.
Yeah.
Or seeing things like the Kraken. And it leads you to wonder, because the oceans are the most, like, undiscovered thing we have on the planet.
Well, a lot of mystery out there.
There's a lot of mystery, and these people claim that they've seen them. And, I mean, you got to think, some of these people never even interacted with each other, but they all claim to see the same thing. So it leads to wonder what exactly is out on those open waters. And, for example, like the concept of, the ship we were talking about before with the Mary Celeste, what happened to that crew? Because they all just, they had food and water left out.
Yeah.
And there was only certain things of that ship that went missing. If you were going to pillage it, wouldn't you pillage it for everything?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You go the full way.
So it leaves you to wonder what happened.
Yeah. A lot of mystery, Bar. And then you mentioned the seas, too. A lot of mystery in those seas. You ever just, even lakes. I mean, look at you. You're a Whiting, Indiana resident. You have Lake Michigan right in your backyard.
Yep.
At night. Just go out there and look at night.
There is stories of Lake Michigan, the Wahala Beach being haunted. haunted.
Yeah.
I've never seen a ghost on Wahala Beach. Maybe some spirits, but that's another kind of spirits to catch my drift.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, bodies of water have a lot of mystery behind them, whether it be a lake, ocean, even a pond, too. You never know. Ponds have eerie stories behind them as well. But, yeah, never could trust those bodies of water, Bob. Never could trust them.
Okay. You ready to talk about probably the most famous of all the ghost ship stories?
Yeah.
So this is the Flying Dutchman, and it's made popular. We talked about the whole SpongeBob concept. It's there because it's a legitimate piece of sailor lore.
They didn't make it up.
No, they didn't. Well, I mean, they took their own liberties to it.
But
in Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, you had Davy Jones, the squid-faced guy, and he had the Flying Dutchman was the ship that he kept all the sailors on. That is an old story, and we're going to talk about it here. There are dozens of legends about the mythical ship and her crew of the dead who are doomed to sail the seas until Judgment Day. It is said that the ship's captain made a deal with the devil and became famous for his ability to make the passage between Holland and Java in an impossibly good time. Sure, they could outrun capture. The crew eventually committed a terrible crime, although some versions claim that they were infected with a plague, which that's the story Pirates of the Caribbean says. They were outrunning the devil that the captain made this thing, and the vessel was prohibited from entering port. Undaunted by the denial of entry and confident in his ability to set sail through at record speed, the captain attempted to round the Cape of Good Hope during a terrible storm. Now, the thing about the Cape of Good Hope is it's off the coast of Africa. It is one of the most dangerous places you could sail because there are rapidly nasty storms that could appear at any time, and there are a lot of nasty jagged rocks down there. A lot of people avoid that even to this day. When the frightened crew begged the captain to seek safe harbor, the captain swore into the wind that he and his crew would round the Cape if he had to beat the waves or until Judgment Day. The ship foundered in the storm and all aboard perished. But true to the captain's word, the Flying Dutchman continues to sail the seas with her damned crew, still trying to complete her ill-fated passage. There have been hundreds who claim that they've seen the ghost ship, which supposedly hovers above the waters with an eerie, glowing mist about its masts in lieu of sails. The ship is believed to be the harbinger of imminent doom. And one of the most famous sightings was reported by Prince George of Wales in the late 1800s while making a passage off the coast of Australia between Sydney and Melbourne. He claimed at least 13 crew members spotted a glowing green phantom ship around 4 o'clock in the morning. The omen manifested itself later that day when the crewmen who originally spotted the Flying Dutchman fell from the flagpost and was, quote, from the prince, wrote it in his journal, smashed to atoms.
Wow.
Now, people still claim to see the eerie glow of the Flying Dutchman to this day. If you go and sailing around that area, there is stories that you might see a green glow and then the ship flying above the waters.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see it, apparently something bad happens to you. But that's the story of the Flying Dutchman.
Well, I always knew Flying Dutchman, weather perspective it came from, did have an eerie green glow, right? That was the whole thing. It was an eerie green glow. So just by seeing the Flying Dutchman, though, you're saying bad things could happen to you?
It's like Mothman, a harbinger of doom. You know, you see it, and then bad things happen.
But you saw Mothman.
I have, and my life's never been the same ever
since. Well, I guess so, if you put it that way. But Flying Dutchman, now what would you see if you see Mothman on the Flying Dutchman? I mean, that's double
trouble.
Mothman
pirate, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what is the most famous piece of pirate ghost ship lore?
I would say it's probably the most famous. A lot of, you know, when you talk to the, when you read these stories about these sailors, because even like Lake Michigan has their own ghost ship stories.
Yeah.
But the most famous one is the Flying Dutchman.
Yeah. Well, Bob, again, if you're out in the seven seas or any sea or any ocean, even any lake, and you see an eerie ship, maybe it's best. I'm just saying here, maybe it's best to look away.
I'm going investigating, man. I'm climbing on that
Even the
dock.
Flying Dutchman?
Please. That's the first thing I'm going
You're
to
supposed
look
to get out of the way.
Now, calm panic. I got to say, you and I need to acquire a ship. The SS Spooky.
The SS Bob.
The SS Spooky. The cat.
SS Bad.
The SS Bad or the SS Spooky Cat.
Yeah.
We're going to go out in the waters and go see if we can go track down these ghost ships.
Can you batten down the hatches?
That's going to be your job. I'm captain.
You're so my, I got to batten down the hatches?
You are. You're my first mate. First mate and
Who's
captain.
The second
boy.
Mate?
You.
Well, I always wanted to know what that was about. So you climb up. What's the thing called?
At the top? The mast, the crow's nest.
The crow's nest. I want to be the guy in the crow's nest, looking out.
The crow's with the
telescope.
It doesn't it like point a picture for you in your head, like of the this whole like the. And these stories are brief, right? Because it's not necessarily paranormal, but there is like a legend to them, and part of the show is legends, lore, and supernatural. And these ghost story ships and the ghost ship stories is so like so fascinating, right? And it paints a picture of you like you're out there and you meet this old grizzled sailor and he's drinking bourbon and he's like, you know, I saw the ship go down with the Kraken, right? And he's smoking a pipe and he looks at you and says, then I saw the ship come out of the water and it had a skeleton crew. And you're like, oh, well, like a couple people. No, they were legitimately skeletons.
Yeah. Would you have a parrot, Bob?
I'd have a cat, probably.
But a cat can't, I mean, a parrot, the pirate.
Well, we're not traditional pirates, Count Panic. I'd probably have a cat or like a dog or something or like a, I don't know, a ferret.
How about a peg leg?
Dude, I could barely walk with two legs. Can you imagine me walking with a peg leg?
I mean, if we're gonna go out there on the season, become pirates, we gotta go to full 100% effort. And try to
you can do the peg leg. I'll wear the patch. I'm blind in the eye anyway.
Okay.
I'll wear the eye patch.
All right.
And I have enough stripes in my wardrobe.
Go ahoy. And whatever pirate lingo we gotta learn. Shiver me timbers. Arg and yeah. Land ho. Things of that nature.
So what'd you think of our our ghost ship stories?
I liked it, Bob. And you know, being the temperatures on the rise, it kinda fit the theme. It felt good to hear some stories about the seas out there, pirate ships.
Maybe we'll continue this next week. Maybe we could talk a little bit more about some ghost ships.
Perfect. And
see if I could dig up some more stories.
Right.
And once again, folks, I do want to give a quick shout out to Doc Walk for giving these articles, because it's, you know, it's easy when you read them, and then we could share our own thing about it. But thank you, Doc Walk, for these wonderful write-ups.
There you go.
So do you have any closing words for our audience, Count Panic?
Bob, I'm just going to say, I know with things getting nicer outside, people are going to go to their closest body of water. If you see a ship glowing green, best to look away.
I'm going right to it.
You're going right to it.
You're getting on that rowboat with vampires.
Rowboat.
Can't cross. We're going to get a rowboat. We're going to row out there. We're going to go see if we can find it.
We could probably dig up a rowboat somewhere. I know somebody with a raft, so that could be a thing.
All right. Folks, I just want to thank you so much for listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. To my mom, I just want to wish you sweet dreams. And to my dad, wherever you are in the universe, I hope you're enjoying yourself. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I just want to wish you the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. And remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are, not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.